Welcome to the official companion podcast series to the Showmax original series, Catch Me a Killer. If you're coming across this companion podcast for the first time, this is the fifth installment and covers Catch Me a Killer, episode 6. If you haven't listened to the other companion pods, or heaven forbid, started watching the Showmax original Catch Me a Killer yet, you need to do that first and come back. If you're all caught up and ready to go, let's do it. Again, we have a pseudonym used for a killer in this episode, and that's because the suspect arrested in the case that would become known as the Cape Town Sex Worker Killer series would have to be released because there was insufficient physical evidence against him. The individual, though, was a very good suspect. And in her book, Catch Me a Killer, Mickey Pistorius says that she's pretty sure they had the right man. In this episode, I'm going to firstly give you a breakdown of the case, and then we're going to delve down into a specific aspect of this case, which is actually quite uncommon in South African serial killers, the selection of sex workers as victims. I did cover this case on my Patreon feed several years ago, and then I recovered it with additional information quite recently. So for the full details, I'll post a link to the full episode in the show notes. In 1996, sex workers in Paro in the Western Cape began disappearing and were later found murdered, most in relatively rural areas. Sergeant Pitful Yun of the Peninsula Murder and Robbery Unit identified a pattern of 16 similar cases dating back to 1992. Victims included sex workers and later domestic workers, showing a switch in the killer's target type. The earliest victim was Christine Fultain in October 1992, and the youngest was 16-year-old Teresa van der Vint, found deceased in May 1996. Fuljoen's investigation revealed the killer's modus operandi, but many cases went unnoticed for years, highlighting the vulnerability of these women and the oversight in protecting them. Detective Fuljoen and his task team meticulously visited crime scenes and interviewed victims' families to understand the killer's methods. The killer often operated on rainy nights, luring victims into his vehicle, incapacitating them with punches, and then strangling them. He transported the bodies to remote, hard-to-find locations accessible from main roads, which indicated a knowledge of these areas, likely through his work. The killer staged scenes differently in an attempt to mislead police, which inadvertently created a signature in of itself. Fuljoen worked tirelessly to protect Paro sex workers during that time and gained their trust. Detective Fuljoen collaborated with the Sex Workers Education and Advocacy Task Force, or SWET, to take statements from sex workers in safe locations. Flyers with emergency numbers were distributed, and sex workers began recording vehicle registration numbers for safety. A 500,000 rand reward was offered for information leading to the killer's arrest. A key lead emerged from a victim named Gloria Samuels' case, which involved an elderly man with a blue bucky, a history of impotence, matching descriptions from other sex workers. The suspect had a suspicious background, including claiming he'd had blackouts and amnesia. Although victim Francis Celestin's fingerprints were found in his vehicle, insufficient evidence led to his release, and further murders occurred even though he was under surveillance. Police eventually halted surveillance due to resource constraints. Missing sex worker cases slowed as vigilance increased, especially against a man in a blue bucky. Sergeant Fuljoen was transferred, and Inspector George Lochner took over. A call from the suspect to a police station claiming he would kill again, led to his rearrest, but insufficient evidence again resulted in his release. Later, Sergeant Fuljun was implicated in an evidence tampering scheme, including having planted Francis Celestin's fingerprints in the suspect's vehicle. Despite the suspect's suspicious behavior and voice recording of his call to the police station, lack of concrete evidence and due process issues meant true justice for the 19 victims remained elusive. Many true crime content consumers assume that everything we've been taught by the largely American-produced pool of content around serial killers is accurate for all serial killers. And the truth is that not all serial killers are the same. South African serial offenders differ significantly from those in the US and many other countries. One way that this is true is in victim selection, particularly where sex workers as victims are concerned. In 2009, statistics from the United States estimated that at least 43% of known serial killer victims were sex workers. This number is also reflected in other countries with fewer unemployed or destitute people and a generally stronger economy. On the other hand, in countries like India and South Africa, sex workers do not constitute nearly as high a percentage of serial murder victims. In fact, there are only 3 or 4 series out of the multitude in our country that I can think of offhand that did solely target sex workers. This is very likely because a large portion of the population living in poverty is seen by serial killers as easy prey. While not all serial killers target at-risk individuals, they know that these victims are easier to lure and less likely to prompt immediate police attention. Sadly, the desperation around being unemployed and often destitute makes a very large portion of South Africans vulnerable to all types of crime, including murder. Historically in South Africa, serial killers who target sex workers have tended to be white males with stable jobs and their own vehicles. A recent exception is a young black male who was convicted of killing 6 sex workers in Johannesburg. Despite this, the trend remains. Killers that tend to kill sex workers come from resourced backgrounds, can afford to pay for sex, and have the means to transport victims. The other side of this, of course, is the question as to whether we really know how many serial murderers are targeting sex workers specifically. Between 2018 and 2019, nearly half of all sex workers who died in South Africa were murdered. 101 sex workers lost their lives in that time, with close to 50 being murdered. This raises the question of whether these were isolated incidents or the work of unidentified serial killers. Murders of sex workers often receive less police attention and are typically stranger murders, which are harder to solve. Investigations usually start with known associates, but in stranger murders, solving the case relies heavily on witness accounts and biological evidence, which can be scarce. Trust between sex workers and police is crucial for gathering information, and without suspects to compare DNA evidence to, solving these crimes is even more challenging. Whether or not there are other unsolved serial murder cases out there involving sex workers, we know for sure that there is at least one offender who sadly literally got away with murder, and at least 19 innocent victims who lost their lives simply while trying to provide for themselves and their families. If you haven't yet watched Catch Me a Killer, definitely head over to the Showmax platform right now. It is yet another truly incredible original true crime docuseries from Showmax that is a must watch. I'll be back in the next companion episode of Catch Me a Killer to discuss another fascinating and terrifying killer on Profiler Mickey Pistorius's radar.